Alexa, does God still heal?
I don't know that one. I can't do explanations yet.
The answer is yes and amen. What's up, church? How are you guys doing? You good? The Alexa does not know if God can heal. Well, hey, you have questions and the Bible has answers. I'm excited you're here today. We're in a brand new series called Ask Me Anything, where we're actually taking your questions that you asked back in Easter of this year. So if you're new to our church, come hang out at Easter. We'll do some more surveys. But every year we do a survey, and basically what we ask is, hey, what are you going through? What are some things that you have, some topics that you want us to discuss and look at the Bible? And we're going to kind of build a series around that. And we did just that. So thank you for being involved in that poll. We had over 600 responses this last Easter. So we're kind of crafting. You helped me craft this message series. So super excited about that. Today, we're going to be looking at a question that I think all of us have maybe either asked or thought about in the last few weeks, and it's the question, how do I handle stress and anxiety? How do I handle this idea of, like, I know what I need to do, but I just, man, there's these things in the way, there's these mental barriers in the way. We're gonna jump into the word today, and we're gonna talk about it, because Jesus, he talked about this. And in the Amplified Bible, we're gonna be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, so you can turn there or you can look on the screen behind me. But we're actually going to look at that, and the subtitle of this section in the Amplified version, it literally says, cure for anxiety. That's the subheading. Cure, so it's chapter 6, verse 25, and it says cure for anxiety. And Jesus has asked all these questions, and he's trying to explain to people how to kind of operate in the kingdom. And he's talking about money. He's talking about resource, what you're going to wear, how am I going to provide for myself? What am I going to eat? And he breaks down this principle and he gives us an answer. And so I want to read to you out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, out of the Amplified version. And it says this, Jesus says this, therefore. So he's giving, therefore is always kind of like, if you see, it's a thought, it's connecting two thoughts in the Bible. If you ever see therefore, always read the verses before that, because you got to understand what it's there for. Come on. All right. You guys can talk in this church too, by the way. Can we get it? Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, 11 o'clock. You guys awake? All right. Therefore, Jesus says, I tell you, stop being worried or anxious. Pause right there real quick. Stop being worried or anxious. Do you ever like have someone like tell you like, well, just don't be upset. Don't be stressed. And you're like, thanks a lot. Easier said than done, right? And do you ever like read the Bible? You're like, okay, you make it look so easy, Jesus. Just don't be anxious. Don't fear. You got this. And you know what? It's all good and true. It's truth. But there's times where I'm like, yeah, but how? This is hard. I'm stressed out about, like, I'm not sure you understand. Like, do you want me to explain to you like my circumstances again, God? And I think for us, some of us here today, you've tried church, or maybe you're coming back to faith, and you're reading the Bible and you're kind of like frustrated because you're like, yeah, I get it. I know what I'm supposed to do, but how do I do that? How do I live this out, Jesus? Like, I believe you're real. I trust you, but I don't know how to do it. I believe that the Spirit of God is going to illuminate something for you today. That God's going to breathe on you in such a way that he's going to speak to you. He's going to give you a rhema. And rhema is a word that God wants to give just for you. It's something that he wants to speak to you directly. I believe that today. So therefore, Jesus says, stop being worried or anxious or perpetually uneasy, distracted about your life as to what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body as to what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Jesus goes on in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow seed or reap the harvest, nor gather the crops into barns. And yet, watch this, your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Jesus is using like, he's just looking around. He's like, hey, check out the birds. You know those sparrows that are like kind of just chirping all the time? They don't toil for food. They don't rush around trying to figure out how they're going to provide for themselves, but somehow God takes care of them. And he says, how much more valuable are you than some birds? You don't, so in other words, God's got your back. And here's what he goes on to say. He says, and who of you by worrying can add 1 hour to the length of his or her life? Verse 28, and why are you worried about clothes? See how the lilies and wildflowers of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin wool to make clothing. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory and splendor dressed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and green today, and tomorrow is cut and thrown into as fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You're like, I ain't tripping on my clothes. I go to Ross. I get good deals. We're not talking about clothes. He's talking about, you got plenty of clothes. You got to get rid of some clothes, right? Give some Goodwills, give some stuff away. But he's saying, I want you to realize that you're worrying about stuff that you can control. You're trying to think about all the things that are in your control. And he's trying to kind of get us, he's getting us above the things that we're kind of in charge of. And he's trying to show us that ultimately that God in heaven wants to meet our needs. And he goes on to say, he says, you of little faith, therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy or distracted, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Verse 32, for the pagans, Gentiles, eagerly seek all these things. But don't worry, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first, and watch this, but first and most importantly, it's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, but first and most importantly, seek or aim or strive after his kingdom. Put your direction, aim your focus, your energy at the kingdom, and watch this, and his righteousness, or his way of doing and being right, the attitude and the character of God, and watch this, and all these things will be given to you also. I want to talk to you today about how to handle stress and anxiety, what God's word says about it. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now you'd speak, Lord, to us. We've come to gather not to hear someone talk about you, God, but to encounter the living God through the Holy Spirit. Would you speak and breathe on this time, God? I thank you for every single person that's here. I pray that you'd speak directly to them. Use me as a vessel, Lord. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Apparently, everyone's stressed out. I read some stats this week. I could bore you with stats. I could stress you out with some stats too about stress. Everyone's stressed out, and I think it has a lot to do with our culture. I think it has a lot to do with our technology, that we're so connected. It's a blessing and a curse. I think it has a lot to do with the times that we're living in. There's a lot of things that are happening in our world that we're aware of, and I think we're not quite sure where to put our attention and what to really be concerned with or not concerned with. I know for me, it stresses me out. I get stressed out about silly things. I get stressed out about good things. I get stressed out about things that I prayed for. I prayed to have kids, and I'm like, Lord, I pray that you give us babies, and God gave us babies, and sometimes my kids stress me out, but not today, because I got to tell you guys, I have a little girl named Hadley. She's 8 years old today. My baby girl's 8 years old. Give it up. We love you, Hadley. She's in active kids, but I'm going to take her after. We're going to take her and do some fun stuff with her today. But it stresses me out that she's 8 years old. Because I remember when she was like 1 month old, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I remember taking her home from the hospital and giving her a kiss and driving like 22 miles an hour home from Summerlin Hospital and like literally yelling at people like, I got a baby. Like, but slow down, you know? And I can remember now she's growing up so fast, and that stresses me out a little bit. I'm like, means I'm getting older too. But Americans are so stressed out. Here's what the top five things, you want to know what they are? Thanks for asking. Okay, here's what they are. Health, like, am I gonna go on WebMD and find out I'm dying, right? Have you guys done the Google search? Like, you don't do that, yeah. I had night sweats at one point. I was like getting sweaty at night. I was like, what's happening to me? And I Googled night sweats. Don't do it. You're just like, you're dying. That's exactly what I found out. I went and got the will made up. I was like, Stacy, you get $2 million if I die, according to our insurance. This year, Americans they reported feeling stress about health, the safety of themselves and their loved ones, finances, politics, and relationships. Next week, we're talking about relationships. You don't want to miss it. Come back next week. Bring a friend. Bring that friend that needs that talk on relationships. You know who I'm talking about. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, you're that friend, okay? So you're like, wait a minute. Anxiety, check this out. Stress and anxiety are up. It's literally tripled. The anxiety rates have tripled in the last 6 years in these areas. Anxiety over finances saw the greatest increase from 2017 to present day. So 2017 to now, anxiety over money has been the number one thing that's increased over everything else. People, you're concerned about money, so am I. We're concerned about where we invest our money, where we spend our money, if we're going to have enough money, if our kids are going to have enough money. If you're blessed, you're going, I want to set my kids up, and how do I invest, and do I talk to this person or that person? And it's so, we're all consumed if we're going to have enough of it or what to do with it. But that's not what worries Americans most. The two most, the highest things that people are worrying about are their personal health and the safety of their loved ones and those that are closest to them. Those are the two things that people in America right now are worried about. And I can see why people are worried about safety. You get on Facebook and you see all the bad things. You see everything. If it bleeds, it leads. And somehow Facebook seems to put all the things that are terrible in the world and all the things that are good. They kind of get low on the totem pole. But all the terrible things, the shootings, the violence, and I get it. All that stuff's really important. But we know about all the terrible things happening, don't we? Because we have a device that shares this information. As much as I love knowing stuff, I think it's one of the curses of our generation. It's like, what do I get stressed out about? What do I get concerned about? Is it this or that? I had a personal experience just on Friday night with safety. I'll tell you how it ends. The cops were called and somebody was arrested. Now that I have your attention, I want you to lean in, okay? So there I am. We just moved to a new house, and it's been really cool to we're kind of renovating it. It's an older home and it needed a lot of work. So if you're handy with a hammer, hit me up. Little plug for me. But we worked late on the house. We had an event on Friday. We did some stuff with some friends, and then came home and I was like, man, I just don't feel settled. Like the whole time we've been there for almost a month. And I've slept like a baby. Like literally, I was just telling my friends, like, man, I sleep so good at this new house. Well, Friday night, I could not get to bed. You know, you have those nights where it's like, I just can't, I'm not tired. I just can't get to bed. I woke up early that day. I was up at like 6 a.m. like normal. And I'm like, I just can't get to bed. I should be tired right now. And here's what I kept doing. I kept looking out the window. I promised you. I kept going to my front window in my room. And I kept looking, and the way our house sits on a corner, and so I'd go out this window, and I just kept like thinking, something's going on. Why do I keep hearing something? And then I'd go out this window on this side of the room, and I'd go, I don't know. So finally, I just prayed, Lord, you love my family. Lord, just protect my house tonight. And I went to sleep. 2 a.m., I wake up to open the window. I'm kind of warm. I like to be cold at night when I sleep, by the way. Any cold sleep, you want to be cold? Well, yeah. For those of you guys who want it hot in your room, I don't know. It's, yeah. Fine. That should be like a marriage thing, too. Do you like to be hot or cold when you sleep? If you're like opposite, just, yeah, it's not going to happen. So there I am, and I open up the window, and I see a van parked out in front of my house. A big old white van, like a creeper van, okay? Like a van that's like free candy and free puppies, that kind of van. And I'm like, this ain't right. So then Stacy's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, lunch. She's like, go to bed. What are you doing? I'm like, babe, there's a van outside of our house. And I'm like alert. I'm not even asleep. I'm like wide awake. And I'm like, we just moved in, so we have no blinds. So we have like a really ghetto like curtain. And it's like, so all you see is like a flap of like a white curtain. And I'm like, and I see these guys. And like, I think they see me and I see them. I'm like, oh, it's on. And they speed off. And they go to the next house. And I'm like, this just got real. I grabbed my gun. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I did. I wasn't going to do anything with it, but I'm going to protect my house because, yeah, it's my right. Okay. And so I have my weapon. I have no desire to use it, but I just like, this is kind of creepy. So I'm going to call the cops because this is kind of weird. Well, actually, I didn't call the cops yet. I told Stacy, something's going on. She's like, what's going on? And next time I do this, Stacy, I'll be more clear. Because I was like, I don't know. There's people around our house. She's like, what's going on? I wasn't clear. We didn't have a plan, people. So then I'm like, all right. I look out the window, and they're in front of the neighbor's house. And that's when I see them. I see two guys running towards the white van. And they look like gangsters because one of them was like sagging and his pants were falling down. And he's running, holding his pants. Sorry, camera people. And he's running and holding his pants. And he gets into the van. And I go, Stacy, call the cops. There's some gangsters running our house. And we gotta get these guys out of here. Call the cops. And I'm like, I'm dead serious. I knew in my spirit. I'm stressed out. I'm freaking out. But I'm like, Stacy, you call the cops. She calls the cops. They came like 2 minutes later. They caught these guys. These guys were stealing stuff. They had drugs. They had mail. They had all this stuff in their van. Three guys were arrested, and God kept me up so I could be the hero of the day, right? The cops were like, sir, we want to give you a medal of bravery and honor. I'm like, no, they didn't do that. Hashtag humility. No joke. Last service, a guy came up to me. He goes, I work at the dispatch. I called your wife that night. I wanted to let you guys know. We caught him. He goes, I knew it was you. He's like, Adam Agani, it's got to be Adam. So they caught the guys. And so, but here's what happened. Last night, Saturday night, I'm like on alert. I'm like, okay, Stacy, we got the house locked down. I'm like ready to go buy like all the security cameras. I want like all of them. I want the Google link. I want the ring. I want everything because I'm stressed out for my family's safety. But here's the reality. You have stresses too, and there's good reasons why. You don't just make up stressors. There are real reasons. There's real bills. There's real health problems. There's real things that you're going through that God cares about. But you and I have to realize that at the end of the day, God knows what you're stressed about, and he cares for you so much that he's not going to let anything go on in your life without being first filtered through his hands. And the minute you get that, you can kind of let go of some stuff. And I pray that today, that whatever you're holding on to, saying, God, I get it. And yeah, this guy's preaching stuff and it kind of makes sense. But I pray that you would let go, because here's why. God has a plan for your life, and he knows that you're stressed. And he wants to be God in the midst of your stressful situation. Now, Proverbs 17 says this. An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. In other words, if you don't know what you're aiming for, if you don't know what's priority, if you don't know what it is that's most important, you will go in many directions and feel like you're losing your mind because you're so stressed out because of all these things to worry about. But I want to help focus your attention today and hopefully give us some application, and the Holy Spirit would breathe on this so that you would find out what's most important for you in this season. That you would be able to figure out, okay, I'm not going to go in all these different directions, but I'm going to be intelligent. I'm going to aim at the wise actions. I'm going to put priorities first, not what's urgent, not what so-and-so needs me to do, but I'm going to make my life built around values and principles and say, you know what, this is most important in my life. So what happens when you're stressed? I'll give you a few things. First off, my resistance is lower. My resistance to temptation is way much, much, much lower when I'm stressed out. So is for you. So like when you have that temptation to eat something you know you shouldn't eat, when you're stressed out, you stress eat, right? How many of you guys just like, how many of you guys have ever smashed an entire hot and ready Little Caesar pizza by yourself? Just because. You're like, before you even get home, you got half of it done? Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Richard. What happens is when you're stressed out, you say yes to the wrong things. Your priorities are now kind of at the, almost, your priorities are kind of at a whim now to what you feel like doing in the moment. So your resistance, you make bad decisions when you're stressed out. Check out what Luke 21 says. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing. He's talking about the end times, when the end's near. He said, if you're not careful, here's what's going to happen. Your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and watch this, the anxieties of life. The anxieties that you're feeling, he's saying, will weigh you down and will close on you suddenly like a trap. What are you talking about, Jesus? He's saying when you get out of priority and you start worrying about all the anxieties of life, all of a sudden, suddenly like a trap, you'll see those things will come upon you. What else happens? My emotions are inconsistent. Proverbs 21:5 says this. I'm sorry, Job 9:25 talks about emotions. It says this, my days go by faster than a runner. When you're stressed out, it seems like you can't get anything done, and before you know it, the whole day's gone by. You ever feel like that? You ever had a season where like that, oh my gosh, I thought we were just in, it was just 4th of July yesterday. Oh my gosh, it was just, man, our kids were just little yesterday. And all of a sudden, when you're stressed out, what you're doing is you're focusing on all the wrong things. So your priorities and your value systems, the things that matter most, aren't really a concern in those seasons, and only the things that you're worrying about that are consuming you. That's why when you go into a situation where you're feeling stressed out, you have to remind yourself, what's most important? Because my emotions are not going to be my friend in this season. There's seasons, I was talking about with Mark, there's seasons where you just have to say, you know what, this time of year, because some triggers, or maybe because of just seasonal things, I just feel kind of, I get in a funk. You ever get like that certain times of year? Maybe around the holidays, maybe around a time where you lost a loved one. You just know, I'm just going to be susceptible to some weird emotional attacks in this season. And sometimes it's okay to say, you know what, I'm just going to have to go through this with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to try to round it. I'm not going to try to ditch it. I'm not going to try to like duck it and go, well, if I could just maybe distract myself with food or overworking or working out too much or not enough, I'm just going to be lazy. Like we try to get it. God's like, no, just invite me into this season and know that your emotions in this season are not your friend because they're inconsistent because you're stressed out by thinking about things that you have no control over. What else happens? Your productivity will suffer. This will also happen when you're stuck on Instagram all day. Yeah. Or Facebook. How do I know this? I've been better at it. I took a couple weeks where I just kind of, I turned the notifications off. I stopped looking at Instagram all the time. It was getting to me. The comparison thing's real, guys. I was looking at my Instagram, looking at other churches, looking at this person, that person, their vacation. I was a slave to the comparison trap, and my productivity was suffering. Why? Because when you're constantly stressed out and you're thinking about, oh, I got to go, 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 and all of a sudden you have all these external things you're comparing yourself to, so you got to work harder, look at their marriage, look at their kids, I got to work harder. What happens is sometimes God's like, I need you just to pull over for a little bit and maybe just rest. Maybe sharpen your axe because you're out there, you're trying to build a business, you're trying to do something, and you're chopping down this tree and you're going for it. God's like, would you spend 15 minutes sharpening that axe so when you go back to it, maybe you can hit it with 3 or 4 and it's going to fall right away. Your productivity suffering because you're so busy, busy, busy. And guess what? Your culture that you're living in right now, your boss asks you how you're doing. Man, I'm staying busy. We're doing good. It's rewarded to be busy. And all the while, your productivity, things that matter most, how you're being a dad, how you're being a mom to your kids, how you're being present to the people that matter the most, those things are suffering. You're not getting anything done. You're not moving the needle where it matters the most. I got a bunch of other ones that I want to share, but the last one, when I get stressed out and when you get stressed out, we feel this, my relationship with God seems distant. It's like you wake up one day and you're like, I was with God, but I just, did he leave? We were close. Do you ever feel like we were good, but then something happened and it's like all of a sudden you wake up and where is God? And if you keep running, if you don't listen, when you hit, this is like a barrier you're coming up against. You're hitting a road, like, you know, you got your barrier on the side of the road. If you bump up and against that thing, it's like, hey, don't go any further because you might fall off the cliff. If you're feeling like distance from God right now, you need to stop. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Someone today, you need to stop what you're doing. You need to cancel your plans today. And your job for today, thus saith, you know, Adam. So you take it for what it's worth. Maybe you don't need to receive it. If the shoe fits, wear it. But you need to stop what you're doing today. And you need to spend some time seeking God. Just hang out and say, God, I'm here. I'm putting my phone. There's this crazy thing on my phone. I found out it has this switch. It's an off switch. It's crazy. Like, you could press it on the side. They made it harder on the new iPhone. Now you have to hit two buttons at once. And then all of a sudden it goes like that and it turns off. It's crazy. You want to know what happens? People leave voicemails if they have to. Or they'll text you and they're there when you turn it back on. What am I saying? You need to let God minister to you today. I stopped reading books for a while. I just stopped reading books. And I have a degree in leadership, org leadership, and a bachelor's degree in business. And I like to read books, but I stopped reading books recently because it was stressing me out. Like, literally, like, it was stressing me out. And you're saying, that's so silly. No, here's why. I listen to, like, podcasts on leadership. But here's what I realized. And maybe you've been there with some other things. I realized that I was just listening and receiving more knowledge. But I didn't have the time or the margin. I wasn't creating the margin to implement any of these strategies. So instead of, like, listening to it, going, that's really good, I'm going to see how I can add value here, I was just consuming stuff. But I wasn't implementing it into the things that matter the most. So I found myself frustrated. And here's why. Because I was becoming like, I was just becoming just inundated with knowledge. But if you don't ever take knowledge and put it into practice, it's actually a curse. And what happens is, so often in your life, you're trying to figure out how you can handle all the stressors in your life. You got all your buckets and you're trying to figure it out and you know what to do. You could write someone a to-do list on how to live a stress-free life. You're smart people. You could tell. I didn't say anything new right there. Everything I just said, you're like, yeah, it goes without saying. So why is it that you're stressed? Here's why, and this is why I think we're going to, for the last 12, 15, 14 minutes today, we're going to spend, here's the truth. You could write this down. You could remember this. Here's what it is. The truth that I live and the truth that I know determines the pain that I experience in my life. So the truth that I know I ought to do and the truth that I'm actually living determines the pain or the stress that I'm currently experiencing. Why is that? Because you know what you ought to do, but because you're so stressed out and because you're filled with anxiety, the Holy Spirit's like, hello? You can let me in? You're like, I want to, but I'm so busy over here. And God's saying, why not try something different? You know, God didn't just leave us to be stressed out. He gave us some ideas on how we ought to handle this. And I want to tell you what it is. For some of you, you're saying this isn't really a new revelation. It's not. It's prioritization, not revelation. God created you for something and me for something that we ought to do every single week. And if you're not doing this one thing, you're missing it. And this is what it is. Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath day holy. It's a commandment. And this is the one commandment. Like, if I was out cheating on my spouse, or if I was lying to people, if I was stealing from people, you would say, take this man and take him off the platform. He has no right to speak to anybody, and you would be right. But if I work 7 days a week and I figure out how to grow this ministry to 1,000 people and I figure out how to reach more people and I'm not honoring the Sabbath, I'm just working my tail off and I get invited to conferences, eventually something will happen. I will be burned out, thrown to the side, and I will be useless for the kingdom of God, because if I don't keep the Sabbath holy, I will burn myself out, and you are the same. Just because you're not holding a microphone and on a platform doesn't mean that you can't burn yourself out and not be good for the kingdom of God. There's hope, and it comes from Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day of the week that you rest. I mean, you rest mentally. You enjoy life. You spend time laughing with people. You eat some good food. You know, stressed spelled backwards is desserts. Can I get an amen? That's a fact. You can Google it. You can spell it out. Stress spelled back. So eat some good food today. If today's your Sabbath, then it has to be Sunday. We have a team that gets here at 5:15 a.m. to set this thing up so we can enjoy church. I guarantee they go home and take a nap on Sunday. Can I get an amen? Guess what? Maybe your Sunday isn't always your Sabbath, but you know what? You could pick a day where you just rest. And maybe you do serve on Sundays. Guess what? You could still spend the rest of your day carving time out and just spending time with God and family. I'm going to give you guys a few ideas, and then we're going to go eat some lunch and take a nap in Jesus' name. Sound good? Some of you guys, you need to go take a nap. Some of you need to take a nap today on your Sabbath. Some of you guys are like, you're too productive. You're like, no way, dude. I got too many emails to do. Guess what? God can do a lot more with your 6 days than he can with your seven. Keep the Sabbath holy. So, you're saying, isn't that an Old Testament thing? No, it's not. Hebrews 4, New Testament. Check this out. Hebrews 4, 9. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. It remains. It's not gone. It remains. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from, watch this, their works. What's work? I think the children of Israel have kind of extrapolated this out to the nth degree. So if you go to Israel right now, I haven't been yet, but it's all on my bucket list. We're looking at maybe a trip next year. So we're talking with a couple groups. I'd love to go to Israel. Would you guys want to go to Israel with me? Anyone want to go? All right, let's do it. It's on a bucket list for me. I want to go to the Holy Land. But they apparently on the Sabbath, literally from sundown on Friday to sundown Saturday, you don't work, you don't walk, you don't go anywhere, you don't anything work. The elevators stop on every floor. Why? Because pressing the button for your floor apparently is work. Right, Katie? You've been. Yeah. So there's this idea that they've gone to the nth degree, but here's what I want to tell you. You are designed to rest. God says, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. God rested on the seventh day. So let us therefore make every effort. Should I make like a little effort? No. Like God is a big deal for God to rest. So make every effort to enter rest weekly. It doesn't have to be Sunday. It could be any day. I rest on Mondays or Thursdays typically. I love it. I go outside. I go hit some golf balls. I'll do something fun. I'll go to the ocean, just like hang out, read a book. Well, not lately. I'll just hang out. I'm trying to implement what I already know. I'll read the Bible. I'll do something fun. I'll get outside. You need to find a rest day throughout your week. And I would suggest to you, recently I bought a new iPad. There's a new iPad right here. My last one was a 2011 iPad 2, so I was due, okay? And what I realized, here's what happened. I had this old iPad, and I was using it, and it was slowing down. I was like, okay, whatever. And I wanted to update it. Wanted to update my iPad 2 from 2011. And I went to update it, and it went from bad to worse. Like, it doesn't even work, barely. It can't compute. And then I Googled, why is my iPad not running? And it's like, people are like laughing. You ever like go to like a thread? People are like, ha, 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 you dummy. Don't you know that the old Apple products don't run on the new iOS that well? That you have to go back a few iterations of the operating system, and maybe you can get something good if you go back 3 or 4 iterations. And I'm like, that's silly. And I started thinking about it. I said, you know what? That's like us. God implemented the Sabbath thousands of years ago. But what happens is we think we've evolved since then. Can I tell you something? You and I are not much different than the people of Israel thousands of years ago, physiologically. We are running Old Testament hardware. We have Old Testament hardware with 21st century software, and things are not running like they're supposed to, church. Something's going to break down. You're not going to be able to function. And I just want to give you 3 things as we close to help you Sabbath well this week. You've already done it this week. You put God first today. Give yourself a round of applause. Come on. You did it. I'm going to pray that God blesses and honors you because of that. But here's a couple things that I really want you to do. I try to do these. I try to implement all these. And I think that God's going to give you maybe just a reminder. It's nothing new. The Sabbath is not something mind-boggling. It's something so simple, but yet something we neglect to do. Number one, on my Sabbath, I will rest my body. Like my body, like my physical temple. Doesn't mean you have to rest, like be sedentary. You can go out for a run, but I will rest my body. Why? Psalm 127 says, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those that he loves. In Jesus' name, some of you need to schedule a nap this week. How good would that be if you had a nap? It's like Tuesday at 4:30, I'm coming home. I'm going to take a nap for an hour. I'm going to be recharged to hang out with my family. Well, I mean, if you could do that, let the Lord. I was like, I should have preached it like an old preacher. In Jesus' name, take a nap, brother. Got that organ going. Love you, bro. Are you sleeping enough? Like, really? Like, if you were to, like, look at, I have this, like, I have an app on my phone. I have this thing that I can sense how much I'm sleeping by the phone next to me. It can, like, sense my if I'm rolling around too much. We have all these, like, devices, Fitbits. All they do is help us bring awareness to the things that we don't normally think about. How are you sleeping? Are you getting enough sleep? Some of you guys are laughing. You're like, no, that's what coffee's for. A few months ago, I was running pretty hard, about 6 months ago. I didn't share this first service, so just keep between you and I. Is that cool? All right, thanks. I was running really hard, and a church plant's like, it's no joke. And I'm so glad that we have so many faithful people that are pulling this. I'm not pulling this by myself. As a matter of fact, sometimes I feel like you guys are pulling me. I feel like so encouraged by our team. But I was running hard, and I was supposed to. I had a long day Sunday, a long day Monday. I didn't get a chance to do my Sabbath. I was like, I'll do it Thursday. Tuesday morning, had Bible study at 6 a.m. I was running off very little sleep, drinking coffee 3 or 4 cups a day. I mean, I wasn't healthy. And then Wednesday, we were supposed to have dinner with Richard and Tiffany, and I just told myself, I was like, dude, all of a sudden I was sitting in, I was like calm. It was very calm, 10 a.m. No one was around. I was just sitting there Wednesday morning. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, great workout. My phone, my Apple Watch said, great workout. Keep it up. Workout? I haven't even gone to the gym today. I haven't done anything. I was dressed like I was going to the gym. I had my Nikes on, my runners, but I wasn't working out. And he's like, good job, 120 beats per minute. Keep it up. And I'm like, what in the world? Why is this thing broken or what? And all of a sudden, I felt my chest. Like, I felt like my heart was beating out of my chest. And I can't breathe really that well. What's going on here? Well, Stacy, I said, I don't feel right. And my mind was clear, but my body was saying, hello. It was like the display on your dashboard saying, hey, you need an oil change. Hey, you need an oil change. And all of a sudden, something's like blows up in your engine. You're like, oh, I should have got my oil changed. I had a dash light on my life. It was saying, you need to slow down. And I called and asked for prayer. I said, hey, Richard, I'm going to have to cancel tonight. I'm going to have to go to the doctor. I'm going to have to check up, talk to my doctor. I called my doctor and I said, I need to see you. I got in right away that afternoon. And I said, hey, doc, I just feel like I'm kind of, I don't feel right. Something wrong with my heart. Like it's beating out of my chest, 120 beats per minute. I'm at my resting heart rate. That's not normal. He goes, let's hook you up. And he goes, dude, you're fine. You're physically, you're fine. He says, are you stressed out? We just put an offer on a house. We just found out we had to move some stuff with our kids' ministry. The library was doing some weird stuff. We were looking at a building for the church. It was looking at, you know, moving this, you know, investing here, all this stuff. I was leveraged. My time and my energy was leveraged beyond what my body could handle. And my body says, stop, you need to slow down. He goes, Adam, you are stressed out. you need to slow down. You got too many things you're trying to do. You are, if you don't take care of this, it's going to hurt you. I went home, I talked to Stacy. I said, well, we have to change some stuff. I called my overseers. I said, I have to figure this out. I got to change some things. They're like, you need to, they said, here's what your schedule is going to look like. Here's what you need to take some weeks off. You need to figure some stuff out. So we made some changes. And by the grace of God, I feel great today. But it's only been a few months, 6 months maybe. And here's what I want to tell you. Some of you today are running at a pace. Take my word for it. Don't wait till your heartbeat starts going, beating out of your chest and you start feeling your arm go numb or something. That didn't happen to me, but it happens when you get a few years older than me. I'm 35, but if I was 55 and that happened, that could have been something way, way worse. So rest your body. Next, number two, replenish your soul. Take your Sabbath day and just do something fun. Hang out with your friends. Hang out with Jesus in quiet time. Spend some solitude time. Get alone with God. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Some of you just need to go hang out and have fun. Some of you forgot to have how to have fun. You're always serious. You're always, oh, what's next? Sometimes I just want to talk. Stacy and I will be talking about work stuff. And they're like, babe, can we just have fun right now? She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, let's just do something fun. I don't want to, like, let's not talk about all that right now. Let's just enjoy each other's time. And then I'll just bring up some wacky question. I'm like, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? Why? Just have fun. Bring some levity into your life on your Sabbath day. It doesn't have to be today. If it's today, if your Sabbath day is 1 hour at church on Sunday and then back to the grind, you're missing out. You're missing out on the best part. God worked for 6 days. He created the world and everything in it, and then he rested. You're not designed to work for 7 days in a row. You're designed to work for six and rest for one. Work for six, rest for one. It's the rhythm. It's the rhythm that God has for you, or else you'll feel weighed down. You'll feel crushed. But guess what? Laughter, levity, it's good medicine for your soul. You should do it. You should hang out with some people. You should go eat some dessert today. If the shoe fits, wear it. Number three, I will refocus my spirit. On your Sabbath day, would you spend some time asking God to say, Holy Spirit, show me what I'm supposed to do today. Pray for your week. Look at your calendar. Pray over those meetings. Dedicate them to the Lord. Pray over your job. Pray over your kids. Look at your calendar and just say, God, what should I do? What should I not do? Refocus your spirit. Some of you haven't spent time, dedicated time with God like this in a long time. And I promise you, if you begin putting this back in practice, the stress and anxiety will still be there. But watch this. You will have a remedy, because one day a week, you will spend time resting your body, replenishing your soul, and refocusing your spirit. And watch what God does when you set time apart for God and you give God your undivided attention. I guarantee God will work all things together for good in your life. I want to pray Psalm 92 over your life. This is a psalm that David wrote for such a time as this, for the Sabbath. I want to pray this over you because I believe it's powerful. And I pray that God would do something in your life this week out of rest, that you won't work to rest, that you'll work from rest this week. Let's pray. Psalm 92, Lord, I pray this over our church. Lord, what a beautiful church we have. For the Sabbath day, this is a song. It's good to praise the Lord and make music to your name. O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Lord, I pray over our church that each person that's hearing my voice would praise you in the morning and praise you at night, that they'd set a time in the morning to connect with you, to talk to you, to read about you, to get to know you better, and that at night that they'd set time to spend time with you evaluating, saying, God, did I love my family today? Did I love you today? Was there anything that I did that dishonored you? Lord, forgive me. God, I pray a refreshing spirit over our church right now in Jesus' name. I pray for a rhema right now, that someone would receive something that would be supernatural. It wouldn't just be a good piece of information, that it would supernaturally deposit in their spirit and you would begin helping them to change, to refocus. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. I pray for fresh anointing over our church. Fine oils have been poured upon me, God. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. I pray that there's favor over our church. For every single meeting, every single class, every single engagement, every single time you have something that you're praying about, I pray that because you've honored God today, that God would honor you. I pray for favor over your life, that you would flourish in the courts of our God. And Lord, I pray that they will still bear fruit in old age. I pray this for someone here today, God, that they would not feel like the best days of their lives are behind them, but God, they would trust you to know that their best days are still ahead. I pray for longevity of life. I pray for health. I pray for vitality. I pray for wisdom. And I pray for fruit in old age. And they will stay fresh and green. They will stay passionately in love with you for all the days. God, I thank you for this psalm. I thank you for the Sabbath. I pray for some today, this would be a simple message, but it'd have profound impact in their life. They would reorient some stuff on their day set aside for you. They'd enjoy it. God, that you would supernaturally replenish their soul, give them strength for this week. If you're here today and you want to make a decision for Christ and you're saying, you know what, I need to come back. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, I need Jesus. Right now where you're sitting, I'm not going to embarrass you. If you need Christ to come into your life, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you can't enjoy this rest. The Bible says that you're actually an enemy of the cross until you accept what Christ has done and you receive him by faith, that you can't enter into this rest. Some of you need, you know, you're at your wit's end. You're going, what do I do? Here's what you do. You surrender to the power and to the grace of Jesus Christ and you receive him by faith. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand right now and say, I just need Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you. Eyes closed, head, yeah. Amen. Amen. Hands going up. Awesome. I want to pray with you. Lord, I just pray over our church. I pray, God, for everyone that said, yes, I want to receive you. I pray that, Lord, I just pray that you would pray this prayer to yourself in your mind. You don't have to come forward, but I just pray this prayer. Say something like this. Just say, God, I need you. And today I surrender my life to you. I'm yours. I pray that you would refresh my soul, that you'd give me rest in my bones. Lord, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe that he died and he rose again. And I don't know what all that means right now, but Lord, I know you're speaking directly to me. So by faith, I receive you as Lord and Savior. God, thank you. Fill me with your spirit. I surrender to you. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.